and just that promise, amen, what a promise we have of heaven. And we just appreciate God and His goodness. And today we're going to preach with the Lord's help on a theology of hope, and something I was working on probably for well over a week now, and I think it's ever more fitting for this morning in light of a situation here, the church, the passing of Brother Carl. And I was thinking how the Lord's amazing, how He leads us to preach something, knowing all things. And today that we'll definitely be talking about our blessed hope in Christ Jesus. As no doubt many of you can notice, we are in the process of switching out our sound system. And we do ask for a little bit of patience because we got a temporary setup trying to figure out the best place to put the speakers and all of that. So this is going to take several weeks. And I do appreciate Brother Tom Jones working so hard at learning how to use all this stuff and just trying to get a better quality sound for the room. And so the best thing is that we can hear the gospel better and worship better. Amen. That we can just hear clarity of the message. I like John MacArthur is a renowned preacher. And wrote many commentaries and pastors, I think about 3,000 people out there out in California. And they asked him one day, and I'm not necessarily against him in all scenarios. I know there's some bigger conservative churches that I've been to over the years. But they didn't know about putting him on a screen so people could see him there in the back. And his response was, he said, all they need to do is hear my voice. He said, I don't care if they see my face. Amen. And that's my understanding as well. We just want the gospel to be clear. Amen. We want people to be able to hear His word and just be blessed by it. Amen. That's what it's all about, to hear His word and to be blessed. And thank God for His word. Amen. Well, I don't have a specific text today, but you can keep your Bibles handy. If you want to keep a pen handy, you can, because I am going to do my best in this morning service as well as in this evening service at 6 o'clock to present to you a solid theology of hope. And I don't know why it became so evident in my spirit several days ago of just the need of going over this within our churches. We live in a generation that is looking for hope. We live in a hopeless age. My, this school shooting, I'm ashamed, I guess. I didn't know about it until last night. I don't really watch the news a whole lot. I need to keep up with things a little more, current things going on. But it broke my heart to hear those things about another shooting, lives and innocent lives that are taken. But here today, I want to talk to you about a theology of hope and hope that what this attitude of hope is and how the attitude of hope is something that catapults us into the future to where we can lay hold of the message and the truth of God's word. The spiritual attitude, I would call it. And in order to do that here this morning, my basic agenda this morning is to lay a very brief but broad definition of what Christian hope really is. And once again, I want this to be concrete in your spirit, because a real preaching and a real message is to do more than just touch you in that service. It's something that you can live on throughout your weeks and years to come. And these are one of those great fundamental doctrines in the church that we need to talk about. Most people use that word, that synonym of hope, as a wish or a want. We've all said something like this, something along these lines: I hope so-and-so comes. Or they'll say something like this: I hope I get that job that I've been seeking, or I hope I get the grades that I'm pursuing, or I hope I get accepted here or accepted there. I hope that my dream for this comes to pass. So a lot of times in America and in our secular thinking, we think of hope as something that is only a futuristic thing. But I want to let you know that as Christians, your hope is not something just in the future. Your hope is something that is right now. Something that is present, something that is real. And the Bible uses the word hope in a very unique way. It's not a wish, it's not a fantasy, it's not a dream, it's not an illusion, it's not a plan that you hope something works. But the Christian hope is a reality that is not only past, present, and future, but it's just so real and tangible that even this week, as I am studying for this, I couldn't help but rejoice and weep and cry that right now that I have something in my life that is so sure, that is so certain in my life. There's a lot of things in this life that is not certain. There's a lot of things I can look at this coming week, and I've already got an agenda that is this long, it seems like there. I type up notes on my phone, and often I'm looking at that list this week, and I said, man, how can all that get done? But I'm not even guaranteed to get any of that done this week. Our hope in something as Christians that is a reality. So when we talk about hope, we're talking about something that is true, factual, promised by God, and it will come to pass. In order to lay this foundation of hope today, I will be going to various scriptures here in the Bible. Once again, you don't have to turn here. I'm going to read these, expound on these, and you are welcome to write them down so you can study them in more detail in a future time. But my first scripture that came to mind, Brother Shane mentioned these verses several weeks ago, but in Hebrews 6 and 18, it says this, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we have a strong consolation who has fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Notice that in Hebrews 6 there, in verse 18, it says we have this great promise that there is a hope that is set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that which is within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest for us, even after the order of Melchizedek. What this is saying is this. We have a hope that is before us. It is anchored in Jesus Christ. Today, as I am standing here and striving to minister this word to you in this room here today, what I am striving to do is this, to let you know that before Derek Jones, in the unforeseeable future, in front of your life as a Christian, in the unforeseeable future, there is an anchor that is laid a hold upon Christ Jesus, and there is a connection from me to Him in the heavenlies to where I am able to feel the steadfastness and security of my faith in Him. That is my hope. Once again, we're not talking about something that is not sure. We're not talking about something that is flimsy. We're talking about a fixed and factual thing. In fact, it says in that same verse that is connected with this one, it says Jesus had entered in within the veil. That's where Jesus entered as our forerunner. We by hope are linked to Jesus who has entered into the holies of holies, into the heavens of heavens, and into the presence of God as our forerunner. Now that is a tremendous statement. The hope is our anchor. It is, once again, it's not a flimsy hope. It is a steadfast thing that no matter what you go through in this life, you can rest assured that everything's going to be okay. Somebody could take you and throw you in the darkest dungeon in a remote part of this world where you don't have no cell phone and no cell phone service. Your family don't know where you are. They say, we are going to kill you and we're going to hurt you. And there nobody knows where you are. But guess what? You can close your eyes and you can focus on this one fact in the most remote place that you could ever be. Jesus knows where you are. Not only knowing where you are, but He can touch you and help you and minister and hear you. That is Christian hope. Muslims don't have that. They pray to Muhammad and Allah. Muhammad's dead. Oh, some wonderful prophet, huh? He's dead. He's supposed to be the key figure, right? And Allah. But what about the Buddhists? They have all these different aspirations of things. They don't have what we have as a Christian. What makes us, what should be so contagious about us? What should be contagious about us? It tells us there in the book of Peter that people are to come to us and ask us about our hope. They're going to look at us and say, why are you still smiling when the doctor told you you're not going to live? They've done you wrong, Brother Derek. How is it that you are still smiling and going to church and holding your head up and coming to work? Or you understand what I'm saying? I could give you scenario after scenario, but what we're talking about is this. The world ought to look at you and say, my, there's something different about them as a Christian than what we have. What is that, brothers and sisters? It is the Christian hope. As a matter of fact, in 1 Peter chapter 1, I love well how Peter puts this. Blessed be the God and faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope. a lively hope. It's not a dead hope. It is a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So once again, we're not talking about a wish. He's letting us know this is alive. This is functional. This is working. We're not talking about a dream or a vision or something, some sort of plan that we want to happen. We're talking about, again, something that is living. There is a living hope in your life that if you are a Christian today, everything's going to be all right when you are serving the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean you'll never have a bad day or an up and down, but it means this, that no matter where you are in life, that all things will work to good to those that love Him and keep His commandments. Colossians 1 and 3, once again, this is an essential part of the gospel. Listen, and I'm giving you all these verses here this morning because I want you to have a good theology of hope, a theos of hope. I want you to have this. Colossians 1 and 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. There it is again. Our hope is already something that is laid up in heaven, incorruptible, prepared, untainted by the effects of this world. It is a hope that will never change. Now, I don't know much about, selling ships and all these different things. I've been raised pretty close to the water my whole life, and I've been in little John boats and been fishing, but I can't ever say I've been out somewhere where you have to set your sails and use an anchor to try to hold you overnight and all those things. But no doubt somebody with Navy backgrounds or military background probably knows what I'm talking about. But I want you to notice something about our anchor here. Our anchor is not in the things of this world. If you put your anchor in finances, you are going to be a miserable person. I made a statement a few weeks ago to you. And I think it was here, yeah, I did. And I said, man, you know what? I said, I feel like me and my wife finally kind of getting settled, you know. You know, we travel, we evangelize, did different things. And all of a sudden my wife called, you know, I was like, all right, let's take a breather. You know, let's save some money. You know, it'd be a nice thing, save some money. My wife calls me this week, we have a leak there in one of our windows. See how secure that is, don't you? Now I'm like, let's save money. I'm like, all right, let's buy windows. If you have hope in money, my, what a shame that will be. Cars are going to break down. All right, I got a 4Runner that I bought for Brother Shane, and it's got 180,000 miles on it. I'm already starting to think that thing might not be here 10 years from now. Might be a miracle if it's here from 5 years from now. What are you trying to say, Brother Derek? What I'm saying is hope is something that is not anchored in this world. But Hebrews tells us there, Peter tells us there, and Colossians tells us here that our anchor of hope is not in this world, but it's anchored in heaven. It's incorruptible. It's unchanging. It'll never be dislodged. Nothing in this world can dislodge that anchor. It is behind the veil with Christ Jesus and that heavenly tabernacle at the right hand of the Father. It's laid up for us in heaven. What a blessing that is. And I know Brother Carl's funeral is on Tuesday. We'll make a lot more mention there. But a man that lived 90-something years, you can't exhaust his life in one ceremony on Tuesday. Well, you know what I noticed as I'm sitting there, as many of you testified to? That Brother Carl had a hope. I mean, what is it that on a deathbed that a man will lift his hands towards heaven, lift his spirit towards heaven, I guess you should say, and pray in a heavenly tongue? And even told me one time, he said, I'm ready to go. Keep standing is what he told me. What causes a man or a woman to do such a thing? What is that? I'll tell you what it is. It's hope. There's nothing you can't fake that. You can't make that up. You can't orchestrate that. It's not nothing you can just buy at the store and put together. It's too expensive for you to buy. There's only one person that could afford it. It was Jesus Christ, and He paid the price with His own life. You can never afford this hope. It is a gift towards humanity. So what do we do, Brother Derek? Live like you have hope. You know, they tell you nowadays in a secular and worldly sense, live to the fullest. And their mind of living to the fullest is going out and buying things and living it up and partying. And they say, man, just live it up. That ain't living it up. That's living it down. What's living it up? Living it up is having a hope in Christ. Living up is meaning anything in this world that takes place. I have a blessed hope. Once again, this is the gospel that we preach. This is what we need to tell the world, that we have something that you do not have. But it is a shame to say that within the Christian church world, there are people that feel hopeless. It doesn't have to be. And I would even go as far as to say it ought not be. Brother Derek, you're saying you never have a bad day? The devil is a liar. I have my bad days. I have days where everything's not perfect, but I don't live there. Do I have moments where the devil comes? Or even, you know, I love the book of Psalms because it's such an honest book. You know, and he's just, I like David's preaches to himself. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And he's talking to himself. What does he say? Hope thou in God. So when you have a bad day, what do I need to do, Brother Derek? Preach to yourself and remind yourself, hope thou in God. I'm not saying you're not going to have to battle on your knees. I'm not saying that you're not going to have to get that Bible out and talk back to the devil. You may have to do a lot of things, but you have a blessed hope. That is part of our gospel. First, in the book of Titus chapter 1, you can write this reference down. But I want to give you the gospel of hope in three tenses. The past, the present, and the future. Now, I want to go ahead and let you know, past, present, and future is something that you can't get away from on this side of eternity. Everybody has a past. Somebody's past may be worse than somebody else's as far as things that we could see with the visible eyes, things that somebody committed. I have met people, and being in ministry, counseling ministry over the years and preaching now the last 10 years of my life, I probably could shock some of you with some of the things that people within the vast, when I say vast, my vast little ministry, people that I have met even a distance from here, they come to me and say, Brother Derek, I cannot get away from my past. But you can get past your past when you have Christian hope. That's a past tense. But then you have people come to you and say, Brother Derek, my present circumstances. I cannot get over my present circumstances. You can get over your present circumstances. How? By Christian hope. But then you got people that's looking into the future and that are fabricating things in their mind that may not even exist or is ever going to happen. And they say, I can't get over that. And I'll say, yes, you can, by Christian hope. Listen in Titus chapter 1, Paul, a servant of God, the apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, I hope in hope of eternal life which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. In those two verses there, many commentators do this. You have three tenses there in the original language. You have faith, you have godliness, and you have hope. Now in the original language, this bears out better than it does in the English, but that faith, that word faith there is talking about faith and something that has already taken place in your life. How many remembers the day you got born again? In my past, 10 years ago, I got born again. So, Brother Derek, how do you handle your past? I take the enemy and I take my own mind to a small little building somewhere in Pennsylvania. I don't even know if it has an address. Back in the woods, a dirty old campground, dirty floors, and there I was, a young man, hair down past my, almost down probably past my nose. I was addicted to drugs. I had different issues going on in my life. But there, past tense, I went down to an altar, and there I was justified in the instant. It's my past hope. So what is our faith in the past? It's when you look at the past and you say, I know I was justified. And at that moment, I was delivered, get this, from the penalty of sin. What is the penalty of sin? If you're a sinner here today, the penalty of sin is death, and not only death, but eternal death. Okay, there's two destinations. And if you don't believe the Bible, you'll have trouble with that. But if you believe the Bible, there's no trouble here. There's two destinations. You're either going to heaven or hell. You're either going into eternal life or eternal damnation. So what happens in the past, there was a moment, if you're born again here today, if you're saved, there was a moment in your past that you were delivered from the penalty of sin. What was the penalty of sin? Death. What were you given and who paid the price? Jesus. And you were given a new life. So faith in the past work, past hope, the penalty of sin, we call that justification. You ever heard of that before? But you say, Brother Derek, what about my present moments? We come to this word here in Titus called godliness. It's our present hope. It's not justification, it is sanctification. How many knows right now, the moments of your life, there's this already but not yet circumstance? Are you sanctified? Yes. Are you glorified? No. What is glorification? We'll get there in a moment. But right now in this life, we're not only we've been delivered from the penalty of sin, but now in this life, you get to be delivered from the power of sin. What's the power of sin? When I was a sinner, and even a young Christian, you know, trying to learn what to do and what not to do, the power of sin would try to express itself over me as a dictator in my life. You shouldn't be like that your whole Christian walk. You shouldn't be. No, what happens? Romans chapter 6. I'm no longer mastered by sin, but now I'm mastered it. I'm in control of what's going on in my life right now in the sense that, look, is there a temptation? Yes. Do I have to go there? No, you do not. Okay, we're not just talking about temptation to lust and to fornicate and commit adultery. But there's even the temptation to stray from God in all these various areas. What is this, Brother Derek? This is godliness. This is living a godly life. This is present hope. This is sanctification. This is being delivered from the power of sin. But then we have this other word in futuristic tense, hope. It's a future hope. It is glorification. And that's when you're delivered not from the penalty and the power, but you are delivered from the presence of sin. How many is looking forward to the day? You know, right now you may be here. If you're born again, you're delivered from the penalty of sin. Sanctification, you're delivered from the power of sin. But one day, even though you're delivered right now from the power of sin, and we're here in Christ, we're sanctified in Christ. But guess what? The presence of sin is all around us. Don't you get sick of those people that cuss at work? Come on. Get a little frustrated every now and then. I go outside somewhere and there is a giant cloud of smoke and I have to inhale a group of people, and I've got my kids there. I'm covering their face. And my daughter don't have a, she don't know. My daughter said, "What is that smell?" So, sweetie, calm down. Now we're trying to, you know. What I'm saying is, but you can even go all the, I can name thing after thing, problem after problem. You hear about a school shooting. What is that? It is the presence of sin. You see families and divorce and adult, all these things. What is that? It is the presence of sin. You see the pornographic industries and the immodesty and what's coming across the airways and the TVs and the promiscuity. And I could go on. What is that, brother? It's the presence of sin. But it will not be there. Amen. What's my hope? My hope, yes, I've been delivered from the penalty of sin. I don't have to be under the power of sin right now. I have a present hope in Christ that I can live above that. Thank God for that. But I'm also looking to the future and saying, things are going to get better than this. And I'm happy now. But yet it's getting better. Amen. I do believe, once again, as we see elderly saints go before, now they are delivered from the presence of sin. I would say to you, and I'm not going to be extremely more lengthy than this, and I hope you're receiving from God. Anyone outside of the gospel is hopeless. Simple. But get this. Anybody outside of Christ is hopeless. No matter what a person tries to create, No matter what they try to secure, there's only one hope, and that is Jesus. And apart from Jesus, there is no hope. A picture of a person without hope is found in Ephesians 2 and 12. It says, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Wouldn't that be a tragedy today if you had to wake up and say, you know what, I'm without God right now. I don't even like saying that. It don't even make me feel right. I couldn't imagine being without God. Because God is everything to me. Now, I find it frightening, and even I couldn't even contemplate living, being on this side, being on this side of my sins in the past, and now I'm living for God. I can't even contemplate living without this hope. I've often tried to do so. Say, what do people do without Jesus? What do they do? But it's sad that I'm often reminded, because knowing many of family members that I have, there's many that are without God and without Jesus. And when I ask the question, what do they do without Jesus? I look at some of these people that I know are not serving the Lord, and I see the misery in their life. They don't even know what to do without Jesus. Matter of fact, they try everything. I've got cousins that have been, they found them in bathrooms, needles hanging out of their arms. I know young men that I've ministered to over the years that are dead in the graveyard, overdosed on drugs. I know people that are my age, young men that I was raised in church with, now divorced. And I could just go on and on and on. What I'm saying is, what do they do without Jesus? They have no hope. But I'm glad to tell you today, in my last portions of scriptures that I will share with you, I'm glad that on this Pentecost Sunday that I have a Christian hope. Okay, and get this. I would like to tell you that we always represent the Christian hope just like we should. You can. But there's times, if you try in your own strength and ability, it doesn't matter how much you flex. I would go into, when I used to go in the prisons and preach, and you're sitting there looking at some of these men that you know all they do is work at all day because they got nothing else to do. I mean, tattoos, teardrop tattoos on their face and all this stuff. And there's been a few times, I didn't do it in my own ability, but I feel the Spirit come on me, and I would tell them, I don't care how big your muscles are, how many tattoos you've got. When everything is said and done, if you don't have Christian hope, you don't have nothing. Act tough right now. But let everything fall to pieces in your life, and you'll be looking for Christian hope. Romans chapter 8. Turn there if you would. I want you to go there with me. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read and expound on these verses, and I will close for this evening. Okay? I want you to get this. When you get there, I want you to listen, because this is something that we've got to be practical about this. We've got to be practical about this. Because once again, I would like to tell you that when something goes wrong in your life, that you don't feel it, or it doesn't hurt you, or that you don't have to battle. But you do. But how can you overcome? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Can somebody say the Spirit with me? The Spirit. I want you to get that. The Spirit. Romans 8 and 22. Now what's happening here? I'm going to read and explain this to you. Romans 8 and 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. How many knows this world is still a fallen world? When Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, not only was humanity cursed in that sense of sin, but now this world also. Do you know hurricanes are not a good thing? And tornadoes and volcanoes, we live in a fallen world. It says the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And Romans 8 and 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Does anybody else in this room groan every now and then? And I'm not just talking about spiritually. I've heard some of you groan a few times. You go to pick something up. Oh! Look, I appreciate it. We kneel down these altars and pray, but there's been a few times I get up to pray and I'm like, oh man. What is that, Brother Derek? Our bodies are not yet redeemed. Now, you should take care of yourself. I'm not going to give you a health lesson because I don't feel that I'm worthy. But I will tell you this. These bodies let us down. they deteriorate, and we grow. Not, I've grown spiritually too. I do every now and then, my Lord, you know, there's part of me, I want to be delivered from this world. But not only that, we've grown physically as well. It says we ourselves grown to wit, the redemption of the body. This body is ever more decaying. Look, I'm 30 years old. I know I keep reminding you that. I'm old to some, young to others. But I know one thing, when I get older, this body probably won't look as good as it looks now, and that's scary. God, I don't think there's much here now. It's only getting worse in that sense, right? It's just the way it is. We're groaning. Verse 24, look there, Romans 8, 24. For we are saved by what? Hope. But it goes on to say, but hope that is seen is not hope, which means we don't see all this yet. I could get up here and teach you about the new body you're going to have one day. And we're just guessing about a lot of it. Why? Because we hope that something we hadn't seen yet. It's guesswork. We're hoping for things that we have not seen yet. But it goes on to say in verse 24, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Church, we need patience with our Christian hope. Look, it's a reality. Some of you are getting older, all right? I'm getting older. There's things right now in my life that I stand a chance of something going wrong. Do you know 5 years ago I didn't have children? And I couldn't sit up here and say, you know what, I'm afraid of losing one of my kids. I didn't have one. But now I've got two kids. And guess what I do every now and then? One, I said, Lord, protect my children. We live in a world where things can go wrong, car wrecks and sicknesses and disease. But even if something does go wrong there, in reality, as my life is expanding and I'm getting older and I've got more responsibilities, there's more potential for things to go wrong. So what do, Brother Derek? I have a hope. Even if something does go wrong that would shatter my heart, I can reach into the heavenlies and I have a hope. I would look right now this morning. I want you to do this in your heart. Can you look to your anchor in Christ Jesus? I mentioned this a few weeks ago. Go ahead and give the chain, go ahead and pull it a little bit. And just remind yourself, you know what? It's steadfast and it is sure. So notice this, okay? Everybody with me, please follow me. I promise you. It's my second closing, I know. But listen. Presently, we live in a fallen world. I'm redeemed spiritually. My body's yet to be redeemed. There has been provisions made through Calvary and healing and the atonement and things like that. But even then, we don't understand all that. We're just hoping and believing. How do I marry my present circumstances? You with me? With my future hope. There's a gap there. Okay, my future hope's that way. My present circumstances right here. There's a lot of room between now and then that things could go wrong. So what do we do, Brother Derek? Likewise, the Spirit. How do I make it from here to there? Serving the Lord. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercessions for us for groanings which cannot be uttered. If you're living for Christ right now, there's a Spirit working within you. That's helping you secure you to the future. Can you jump ship if you want to? We believe you can. But why would you do such a thing? Why would you be so foolish to give up on Christ and forfeit grace? Why would you do such a thing? If you stay in the boat, if you stay with Jesus, even at times through your imperfections and you're yielding to the Spirit, guess what? He's making intercession. There's times you don't even know what to pray for. And the Holy Ghost is making intercession on your behalf. He searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is in the mind. He makes intercession for us. Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. We have a pledge. We have a promise. We have a hope. I want my wife to come to the piano. So once again, I had this outlined and working on this, and I'll finish this up tonight because tonight there's like 12 points, something like 12 points, and I know I'm looking right now. You don't want me to go over 12 points right now. I'm just guessing. You know, you might not mind some of you, but But just for the sake of our attention, I feel like it'd be more beneficial tonight about our Christian hope. Stand to your feet this morning. Stand to your feet. This is a basic theology of hope. The Spirit bridges the present and the future. Our present circumstances could be troubles, could be trials, could be death, can be dilemma. Our future hope is heaven, eternal life, and a new body. Do you know if God would have just set everything in the future and just looked at us and say, you know what, you're by yourself now, just make it there if you can. He could have done that, and he would have been just as righteous in doing so, because we don't deserve anything that we've got. But he tells them there in John chapter 14, and my, how it would tie right to Pentecost Sunday, I will not leave you without a comforter. Who was he going to send? The Holy Spirit. He prays. He convicts. He touches. He helps. And he hears us. I wonder here today, and this is just what I felt in preparation for this, and I knew this morning where I would stop. Is there anybody here today that number one, and I would that you'd be honest in your own spirit, Brother Derek, if you're lost here today and you don't have hope, let me put it this way. If you were to die right now, if breath would leave your body, your heart would stop beating. Do you have the hope that to be absent in this body is to be present with the Lord? Or right now, when I said that, you had precaution and you said, I'm just not sure what would happen to me if I died. I want to let you know that you can leave here today with hope in Christ. So to the sinner. Number two, if you are a believer here today and you need your theology of hope refreshed, because even though that you are saved and you're born again and you are a child of God, at times the clouds seem to darken out your hope and you don't see the sunshine of hope as you should. Can I encourage you in the service, with the help of the Holy Ghost, to look past the clouds of doubt and despondency and realize that there's nothing that can alter, unless you completely forsake Christ, there's nothing that can alter your hope in Christ Jesus. But then you might be somebody here today that you're like me, that since yesterday I've been reflecting on the life of Brother Carl, and I know that this moment right now, he's in a glorified state. In the sense, he's still waiting for the redemption of his body, in the sense of being reunited with his body, but to be absent this body is to be present with the Lord. How many appreciates that Christian hope? I appreciate it. Amen. We do different things. If you're a visitor here, we do different things on Sunday morning. Sometimes I have you come stand around. Sometimes I have you pray where you're standing. But I feel this is all in order today, that if you're here today, any one of those levels, if you're a sinner that you're hopeless, you need hope. If you're a believer and you need a refreshment in your hope, or if you're somebody just like me right now, you're just excited about the future hope you have in Christ and you've been reminded, can we take a few moments and pray around these altars and ask God to have His way in our hearts? Empty them pews. Those will find a place to pray. Once again, this is something we do here at this church. We're praying that God will help us and touch us. Find you a place to pray. You can pray right in your seat if you so desire. But God's able to touch you here today. I have an anchor. I thank God for the hope we have in Christ. In Jesus' name.